Hello, this is your host, Larry Nelson, and we are back with John Stefanis of Cisco Systems on the W3W3 Talk Radio Show. And we are discussing how to survive and thrive on the Internet.
And John, you know, we've recognized the value of your book, Net Ready, often referring to it as the Internet Bible. It's been a nationwide hit, but now we're hearing reports that there are a number of universities making Net Ready required reading in their business schools.
Yeah, John, and I heard that mentioned at a couple of schools, by a couple of schools this past week at the Startup Base Camp. So how's it going there, John?
Well, very well. How are you two today?
did we surprise you on that one?
Yes, you did,
yeah.
As a matter of fact.
Well, that was great. Yeah, there were two universities, two different people that were saying it's required reading
in our business school.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you knew that, but I think that's pretty darn cool. Sure.
You bet.
That is cool. No, we had not heard that. It's one of those things that it keeps popping up in the strangest places. And
mm-hmm.
I was with a client, and they said, well, you realize that, you know, we're now using NetReady as our planning process. Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
Surprised me.
All right.
So last week on the Chronicles of a NetReady Consultant, we discussed managing the client. Since consultants are always trying to outdo their competitors, the listeners gave us a three thumbs up on that one.
Yeah, three thumbs up. Now, today we're going to be discussing how e-strategy is different from business strategy. Now, John, I have a feeling this can be somewhat situational, but it seems that the boundaries can be gray if not murky.
They're extremely murky nowadays, and I think, as you mentioned on more than a number of occasions, that literally, I always had the belief that the E&E business should be silent.
Yeah. Very good.
Once you get past that initial law is business versus e-business, a company that will be succeeding in the future literally will totally internalize the concept of E, which is why, literally, your business strategy and your e-business strategy tend to be the same thing. I see a lot of that occurring over the past year and a half. And I think as you go into a company for the first time, it usually takes them 18 months to 24 months to absorb that, and which is not unusual.
Yeah. Now, when you made that statement, were you talking about born on the web type, or are you just talking about organizations also that are transitioning into an e-strategy?
Actually, both. If you're born on the web, they really are good at building applications and going out there and having an idea and making it, literally real and adding all kinds of functionality and navigation and content, whatever. A lot of times, I think where most of the dot-coms or born on the web companies got into a problem is that, quite frankly, they didn't have a strategy, as in a real business strategy.
Uh-huh.
On the other side of the coin, you had companies that had very, very good business strategies, and they didn't know how to cope with this thing called the e-business.
Yeah.
So they formed different, organizations or units, spun them off, and they're bringing it back in. And the most common downside is that if you go to a company, they have a marketing group and an e-marketing group, and they're in the same, report to the same individual, or sales and e-sales, purchasing and e-purchasing, and then they have IT, and they have e-business, which, you're going to create some major problems, because eventually those two have got to be, one and the same. I cannot isolate, my IT organization, everything they do, separate and distinct from, the people that are in the east side building these applications. And that's a tough one to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, well, here's our hypothetical scenario for today's discussion. Let's take an existing company, been in business 5 years. They have 150 people in the home office, 10 additional branches, and they're considering the possibility of e-business.
Yeah, okay. Now, here's our disclaimer. We got to do this. The lawyers told us. If this sounds like a company or a group of people you are familiar with, it is strictly coincidental.
Okay, so...
Right. That's supposed to be funny, John.
That is funny.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, oh, well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's start out with an example of a traditional, straightforward consulting project. What are some of the initial tactics used by a management consultant with a business strategy focus?
Okay, if I were to go into this company, this hypothetical company, one of the first things I would do or suggest doing is that, they've been in business for 5 years. I like to, basically look at their five-year history.
Uh-huh.
What was their revenue growth? What was their growth, and particularly in net margins, whether it went up or down? And what was the profitability over the five-year period? And I'd like to compare. I would probably compare them with other companies who are in the same space or same market to see, are they doing better or worse? Or if they started off very, very well, why are they sliding? If they start off, basically at the low end, how do they do what they're doing? How do they get ahead of the competition? that's probably the first thing I would do, is just to get a historical perspective of their performance. The other one would be normally meet with the executive team and say, okay, where are you today and where are you trying to go? Why are you doing this? What is the absolute business logic for getting into an e-business? Do you really know what you want to do? And a lot of times they don't. They tend to do it because everybody else is doing it.
Uh-huh. So they've
got to make the clarification that maybe you just don't need a lot of what you're thinking about, because it could be costly, it could be time-consuming, and especially looking at your performance, there are ways to enhance it. But, you know, or basically if you're doing okay but not great, then you could take a look at, okay, where are you trying to go? And that will lead to, okay, aside from doing things that can make you operationally better, or, you know, looking, especially if you have multiple locations, they are a prime candidate for going on the web and web-based applications.
Mm-hmm.
What else can we do to create some breakthrough strategies?
You know, John, you're making the moves, of course, of a real pro. Before establishing the new metrics, you take a look at the metrics of the past and make that comparison.
Right. You got to start someplace, because then you don't know how far you've gone.
Frankly, there you go.
Yeah, I got to have, you know, you'll start today, here's what you're doing. Okay, then now where you want to go, let's, you know, try to get some targets. And by the way, we'll figure out 3-month increments on how to, you know, achieve these targets and the metrics behind that and see how we're doing. But you just got to have a baseline.
All right, so John, let's do a little comparing here of our straightforward or maybe our classical management consultant to that of the, if it's okay we use this term, the e-project consultant. What are some of the initial steps taken by the e-project consultant, and are there significant differences from that of the classical consultant?
This is a general statement, but my take is that if you're an e-project consultant, more than likely you'll start with, okay, what internet initiatives are you currently doing right now? And they'll start from an initiative perspective or a project perspective as compared to looking at the entire strategy or history of the company. So they do a very good job, but they are very focused on one thing, and that strictly is the e-business portion of the company. And I think that could lead you to some very interesting, you know, things that could lead you to basically, we call it, you know, going down a rabbit hole. You may not be looking at the total company. And if you look just at the business initiatives, you can say, well, gosh, you know, we have these two breakthrough strategies, we're trying some experiments, and you got to step back and say, okay, but what are you doing to change the way you conduct business fundamentally? You know, what are you trying to accomplish? And they tend to forget that, and they jump right into some really neat, snazzy things that they could do from a e-business or internet initiative perspective. And that's missing half the problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, those listeners who might have just tuned in, we've been talking about dealing with a hypothetical company that's been in business for 5 years and is just considering the e-business strategy, not a company that was born on the web, so to speak. Yeah.
Hmm. So if we're focusing on this e-project consultant, are there boundaries in the consulting process that need to be understood, and are there any taboos?
Good question. If you're strictly an e-business or e-project consultant that's coming in there that has a focus on, you know, I am really good at technologies, internet technologies, and web-based applications. If you're hired in for that purpose by management or even a division or literally some segment of the company, trying to go over and say, well, you know, here's some problems with your business strategy, it'll never fly. They perceive you as doing one thing, and that is I hired you to look at internet initiatives, to look at my technology, to look at what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong from an e-perspective. Don't talk to me about business strategy, because that's not your core competency.
Uh-huh.
So you got to be very careful not to go over that line, because you just won't have the credibility.
That's a good point. In fact, going across that line and even sometimes going up and down that line can make a difference. By the way, on Pat mentioned about the taboos. Is there also Holy Grail that we have to protect here, or that you as a consultant got to get through?
Yes, you never set a high expectation level. You say, here's what we could do, and, you know, so that everybody is in agreement, and you try to exceed that expectation level. But the major thing is, don't ever go in and set a high expectation level, because you could be killed. And the objective being, I want to set an expectation level and exceed it. Not have a very, very high one and miss it, because you'll never go back there again. You'll just have absolute, you know, the client won't like you, you'll probably get a bad reputation, even though you do superior work. If you didn't meet that objective, they'll never forget it.
Yeah, you know, John, what's so interesting here is you're not only giving us hints on how to really be a successful NetReady consultant, because a big part of that is not only knowing what to do, but what are the things you should not do and the boundaries that you should not cross if you don't have that a picture of that expertise.
You know, a lot of times we'll go into clients and they'll say, well, what do you expect, what do you think if we do this project will be a return on investment? And our take is at least 5%, probably 15%. That tends to be the normal. Well, quite frankly, Larry, you can get 25, 30, 35%, and in some cases, one in particular that we worked on, it was a 35-to-1 return.
Wow.
But you can never tell the client that because they'll say, you got to be joking. I don't buy this. And you lose credibility from day one. So you just scale it back, and then you overexceed.
Oh, wonderful.
Boy. And they really love you at the end of that one, huh?
Oh, that one, yeah. Just like, you know, hey, this is a real great case history. We'll talk about it all day long.
So what are the differences in the e-project consulting approach when an organization is upgrading their e-business versus starting and integrating an e-business segment from scratch?
And by the way, Peter Jeanette is sitting here listening to this one because he deals with both kinds of clients. He wants your answer on this.
You know, quite frankly, I think it's easier if they're already into e-business to, you know, do work than if they're not into e-business and trying to convince them and trying to transform the organization. We talked about this in the past about business transformation. And at least if they have done projects, you know, internet-based projects or web-based applications, they tend to have a better feel for what that is about, what does work and what doesn't, and the expectation level. When you're going into a company that has never done this, it is a son of a gun because it really is a marketing and selling process from the senior management straight on through. And even if you convince senior management, at the end of the day, they may buy into it and they can help you out, but then you got to drive it through the organization. And number one, it's very time consuming. And number two, we talked about this, you have people that will absolutely resist you, either explicitly or implicitly. They'll find ways to derail this thing. They'll find ways not to make it work. And it's a much more difficult process all the way around.
You know, John, Peter and I are both sitting here shaking our head. Yes, we agree. We were kind of hoping there was a magic wand that we didn't know about, though, that would make it easier. But boy, nothing like the straight scoop here.
Well, I think the magic wand situation has kind of disappeared about 10 years ago. Everything is trench warfare nowadays.
Oh, gee, I was looking for one 20 years ago. But anyhow, you know, in terms of, and by the way, we are here with John Stefanis, a Cisco Systems author of NetReady, on the W3W3 Talk Radio Show, and we're discussing a very big, important thing, the difference between e-strategy versus business strategy. So now, in terms of planning, what are the differences an e-project consultant needs to take today versus 2 or 3 years ago, or is it still status quo?
No, it really has changed. And I look back over my career, and I could go back, you know, probably to the, let's say, for example, the mid-'80s. And if you did a business and IT strategy project, that plan was good for about 5 years because things just weren't that dynamic. Yeah, they changed, but they didn't change. You realize that, gosh, if I put together a 5-year plan, given the industry I'm in, you could have ups and downs in the cycles of the business itself, but you knew that at least 3 of the 5 years were pretty stable and things would work as planned.
Right.
Maybe year 4 could be problematic, and year 5, okay, you're out quite a bit.
And say, John, don't you remember the times that years ago when we would do 10-year or 15-year strategic plans?
Oh, yeah, there was a dynamite because
yeah,
they're stable. You didn't have to worry about stuff. And in those days, it was, yeah, IBM mainframes and, you know, DB2.
Right. That was yeah, that's it.
That was it. It's not a new technology every month. What we're finding nowadays is that, you know, literally, the planning cycle, a good plan will probably last 12 months. You can look for 18 months, but more than likely, it's a 12-month window.
And how often should you check that out to make sure that 12 to 18 months is still okay?
Every 3 months.
Okay.
That's how dramatically things are changing, both from a business perspective, but also from a technology perspective. And, you know, technology is almost immaterial nowadays. I mean, not that I'm discounting it, but you know, you could pick a technology that, you know, it's very, very cheap to change, although it's kind of traumatic at times.
Yeah.
But the thing that kills me is that you go back over the past 6 months with just the economy, and the fluctuations are very, very high or very, very low, and they're very dramatic. That's what makes planning extremely difficult. This thing called, I don't have any visibility. And that is difficult when you're trying to do a plan. You say, well, the best I could do are, you know, let's go out a year, and every 3 months we revisit this thing in terms of the types of projects we're going to be doing. Are we really getting the ROI on three-month increments? Let's take a look at the external environment. Let's take a look at how we're doing internally. And you may have to make modifications. So it's a constant process of I'm doing projects, have initiatives, go back, revisit with metrics every 3 months, may have to do a lot of changes, augment, move on ahead, and that's the cycle. And it's a never-ending cycle.
You know, you brought up a very good point that while you're reviewing every 3 months, you have to be willing to make a complete change if you're finding you're off course.
Oh, yeah. And some of these changes, I mean, really mean, well, okay, we got the returns project, but you know what? The rest of these that comprise this whole suite of applications may not be relevant. Okay, I only have finite resources. I may have to kill those for the time being and then, you know, go on to different projects and reallocate the resource. And it's a constant shift. And I could, you know, the best example I have right now is I take a look at, you know, energy on one hand and automotive on the other hand. And energy, you can't get enough bodies because money is just rolling in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just unbelievable amounts of cash coming in.
It sounds like the Internet just a few years ago.
I'm sorry?
It sounds like the Internet and the web just 2-3 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so when you're dealing with, you know, energy companies, you know, the emphasis is that I'm going to make my investments now because I know in 18 months I'll be in a down cycle. So they will shove everything within a 12-month window, maybe 18-month window. Automotive, you know, we've talked about my team working at Ford. And now, since February, we've had basically two changes of direction in terms of the economy.
Aye.
That's right, sure.
So you start off in February that here's the baseline. This year we'll do these projects over the next 12 months. And you have to come back and revise and say, well, the economy is even worse than we thought. Cut back the number of initiatives. And again, we went through that cycle. This is in the span of between February and today. And we have to cut it back again because the economy is so bad that you have to really worry about, you know, how much money I really have, and I have to cut back the budgets.
Mm.
Now, so you just shrink down those projects and try to get only those most critical things done that have a very, very immediate bottom line, not necessarily bottom line impact, but extract cost.
Wow. This is more like Crocodile Dundee.
There we go.
So, Jen, what are the challenges of a classical management consultant migrating into the role of an e-project consultant and vice versa? And I asked the second part of the question because we know some top e-business consultants that have never done strategic management consulting.
Well, it's very interesting because I could take the case of really classic companies. This is basically my own personal opinion, nobody else's, it's not Cisco's. I take a look at McKinsey & Company, who are the premier strategy consultants. They've been around for a long, long time,
mm-hmm.
and they are very good at strategy. And yet, when you talk about, well, we could also do e-business consulting, there is zero credibility. It's like white-collar versus blue-collar. They just don't mix and match. And they could try all these, you know, venture capital firms. They could try a lot of different things. The fact is, their entire history and reputation is built on strategy consulting at the board level and CEO level. So as they get further down the food chain, it just doesn't fly. The other side of the coin is you could have very good e-business consultants. When they try to step out and say, well, we do strategy, and you have a bunch of 28- or 30-year-old kids or 32-year-old kids, it's not going to fly.
Yeah.
There's no credibility.
Uh-huh. And it isn't just credibility, it's experience.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, especially with the business companies trying to get into consulting, they tend, at least with McKinsey, I really give them a lot of credit, you have people there that have been around for 20, 30 years, 20, 25 years, so you have a base of experience in general business that is invaluable. And these smaller companies or even bigger companies that have e-people, they don't have that.
Say, John, I want to thank you for joining us again today.